This is part of the Pre-System Seminar Series, and I'm Ken McCarthy. We're issuing this lesson on December 6, 2010. But it doesn't really matter what the date is that you're listening to this, because all this material is designed to be perennially useful. We're doing two things in the Pre-System Seminar Series. We're covering the fundamentals, the basics, the things that everybody, whether you're a brand-new beginner or an experienced veteran, would profit from keeping in mind. We're also spending time with guest experts, and so far in the series we've talked to two truly amazing people, Michael Campbell, one of the grandfathers of internet marketing, one of the absolute leaders in the SEO field, one of the brightest minds in the business, and if you haven't heard the call we did with him and his ultimate heat map, which is available for free, amazingly, you should definitely check that out. To check out any of our past calls, just go to thesystemseminar.com/2011/pre. You'll also find our interview with Ben Hunt, another veteran of the internet world. He's been designing websites since 1994. And as a result of his experience with the System Seminar in London a couple of years ago, he's completely revolutionized his approach to design. And Ben was already very well known in web design circles before he took our seminar. He's the author of the book Save the Pixel, which has provided guidance to literally tens of thousands of web designers all over the world. And you may find some of the things he has to say about web design, some of his new insights based on his experience at the System, could be pretty interesting. And again, you can get all those calls plus these foundation calls that I'm doing at thesystemseminar.com/2011/pre. In the very, very first call, I talked about the things that I think every business must have. So if you're thinking about going into a business or looking for a business to go into, or if you're in a business and you want to make it more profitable, if you own a business and want to make it more profitable, I gave some guidelines for doing that. And then the last call, I talked about two what I consider must-haves for any business that I personally am going to start, get involved in, or invest in. So if you haven't listened to those calls, do so. This call will make perfect sense without listening to those two, but if you listen to those two and this third one today, it's all going to weave itself together into something very useful and profitable for you. For one reason or another, in the last 6 months or so, I've been helping a lot of friends, I mean, neighbors, people that I'm, you know, good friends with, get things going on the internet. Maybe have to do with the state that the economy is in, whereas people might have been able to find extra work or, hey, find a job even. That doesn't seem to be as easy as it used to be. So I'm noticing a lot of people that I know are suddenly looking at the internet with new eyes. You know, instead of being a source of entertainment, they're looking at it as a possible source of income. They all kind of know that I'm doing something on the internet. They don't really understand what it is, and lately they're all wanting to know details. So it's given me an opportunity to experience the internet and internet marketing and making money on the internet through the eyes of an absolute beginner. And this is something that I, as a, you know, going on 17-year veteran of internet marketing, actually find quite valuable. It's very good to examine your preconceptions. It's very good to examine your fundamental notions about things. Sometimes you're reminded of things that are right, that are correct, and it gets you to redouble your efforts. Sometimes you notice things that are not correct and not right, and it gives you a chance to get rid of them and replace them with something more valuable. So one of the same themes keeps coming up over and over and over again in all my discussions with my friends. And I have a feeling if it's coming up with them, it's probably coming up with everybody. And that's the correct thing to focus on. Most people, in terms of when we start thinking about starting a business, think about the product. Do I need a product to sell? Do you think this would be a good product? Hey, I've got this great product idea. Now, there are cases where a product is so amazingly strong that it alone can be the basis for a business. But I like to be a high probability player myself. I don't like to hope that a business is going to work, or, you know, have a good hunch that it's going to work, or think that it's going to work. I actually want to know it's going to work. And that's not that hard to do if you take a market-centric approach. So there's the product-centric approach where you get all you know, in love with your product, and you think about how great it is, and you think about how useful it is, and how everyone's going to love it, and how the world needs it, and you know how important it is, all those kinds of things. That's the product-centric approach. Then there's the market-centric approach. And the market-centric approach says, look, business is hard enough. I don't want to go on a crusade to promote any one thing. What I really want to do is find an existing marketplace, underline the word existing, and I want to find a way to profitably tap into it. Very, very, very different ideas. One, you are dependent on the product being so fantastic that people just automatically fall over when they see it. Very unlikely to happen, no matter how good your product is. Two, you're actually looking for people who are already proven buyers and have demonstrated a proven interest in the kind of thing that you hope to sell. So if there's a choice between being all excited about a product and all excited about a market, my advice to you is get excited about markets. Now, market, that's a start, but it's only really just a start because the market, in quotes, the niche market or whatever you want to call it, is kind of a vague term. And as in everything, the more specific we can be in our language and our thinking, the better our results are going to be. So let's get more specific about what the heck are we talking about when we talk about a market. We're really never talking about the entire market. All right, so for instance, if you sell tennis rackets, I guarantee, I'll bet my life on it, I'll bet my net worth on it, I'll bet anything I've got on it, that you will never sell your tennis racket to every single person in the tennis racket market. It's just not going to happen. It's never going to happen. So what we really are talking about when we're talking about markets, finding the right markets, focusing on markets, being markets, market-centric, is we're always talking about a segment of a marketplace. It may seem like a minor distinction, but I think it's very important because it focuses you on the right things. Your goal is not to conquer the market or be number one in the market or sell to everybody in the market or, you know, blanket the entire market with your offers. Your goal is to pull people from the marketplace into your circle, into your camp, into your tent, whatever you want to, however you want to call it, and make them part of your following. So, yes, the market for tennis rackets may be, I don't know, what is it, 40 million people in America? Okay, you to guarantee or to greatly increase your chance of success, you really want to think in terms of what part of this big market can I uniquely serve and then focus on that. This is a very, very important concept. Being all things to all people does not work. Being a specialist who's known for being particularly good in one particular area works very well. It pulls like a magnet. Let's go back now and look at this idea of product again. People think in terms of, okay, my job is to sell my product. That's what business is all about. And yes, in fact, part of the mechanism of having a business and making money is selling products, right? But let's look at what we're really, really doing. Selling products is kind of a surface thing, and it's important, there's no doubt about it. But what we're really doing is using products. And what are we using products for? We're using products as bait. We're using products to lure people from the mass market of tennis racket buyers into our unique marketplace. And we offer our product. A certain percentage of prospects are going to say, yeah, I'm going to try that thing. And that's our chance. That's our chance. And I'm very specifically calling it a chance. And this is a really important concept. The first sale is somebody taking a chance on you. Okay? It's yeah, of course, it's great to book the income, high fives all around, we made a sale, that's great. But it's after the sale takes place that the real work begins. Because the purpose of the product is to pull the customer from the undifferentiated mass of potential buyers and put them into your tent. And once they're in your tent or in your circle or in your following or in your flock or in your herd or whatever you want to call it, the real work is to keep them in your circle. And that has to do with, obviously, the quality of the product. This is all important. The follow-up service, all important, and the future offers that you make them. So rather than think, oh, I've got to find the world's coolest product, start with, I've got to find a healthy market. And we've talked about how to identify healthy markets in previous calls. Within that healthy market, I have to identify a segment that I can uniquely serve, because I can't ever go after the whole market effectively. Even big corporations don't even try to do that. So I'm looking for a healthy market. I'm looking for a segment that I can uniquely serve. The next step is I need an introductory product. You don't call it an introductory product when you're selling it, but it's helpful to conceive it that way for yourself. I need an introductory product that will draw people out of the general marketplace to my business, inspire them to make the leap of faith to buy that first product with me, and get them into my circle so that I can serve them, continue to educate them, and continue to make them more offers. Do you see the vast difference between being sales, you know, just, hey, I got these products and I got to sell them, versus, hey, I got to find a good marketplace. I can't deal with the whole marketplace, so I've got to figure out a good segment that I uniquely can serve, okay? And then the next step is I've got to come up with an attractive initial product, first-time product, introductory product, whatever you want to call it. One marketing expert calls it the marketing widget, you know, the thing that turns undifferentiated prospects into a first-time customer. Okay, I've got to find that. And so the product, you can see now, is more than just something to sell and profit from. It's something to create a following with. I think it's very important to conceive of that first of the first thing you sell as your introductory product. And we've talked about this in previous calls, and we'll probably talk about this from now till the end of time because it's so important. Introductory product presupposes that there's going to be a second product and a third product and a fourth product. So when you're conceiving your business, whether you're already in business and you want to expand, or whether you are looking for an opportunity, or you're very serious about pulling the trigger on a very specific business, my recommendation is always have these three things lined up and ready to test. Number one, the segment of the marketplace that I'm going to uniquely serve. Number two, the introductory product that I'm going to sort of dangle out there as bait to draw people into my circle. And number three, and this will change your life, and this will change your profitability, and this will make the things you do vastly more successful. When they show up to buy my introductory product, what will I have immediately ready to go? And I mean ready to go in terms of a product and ready to go in terms of a marketing and advertising. What will I have to offer my first-time buyers right away? So really, if you want to start a business on the best possible foundation, always think in terms of two steps. What's the first thing I'm going to offer them? And immediately, what's the second thing I'm going to offer them? Now, sometimes your bait or your introductory product is something that you give away for free. Right? And that's totally legitimate because if you think about what the function of that first product is, it's got a function, and the function is to draw people out of the undifferentiated market into your circle. So sometimes that can be accomplished most effectively through selling them something. One way to reduce the friction of that transaction and get people to, you know, make the jump and get into your circle is to make it available for free. So whether you have an introductory product that they pay for or something that they get for free, it's the function that you want to focus on. And that function is taking somebody from being a stranger, from not knowing you, from having no experience with you, from having no relationship to you, to beginning to have a connection to you via a transaction. Okay? But don't stop there. Don't stop there. Ideally, you want to have something ready and set up to go. So as soon as they say yes to the first thing, you now have a much bigger thing to offer them. Why is this so important? This is important for a whole slew of reasons. Number one, people are most likely to buy when they're in the act of buying. All right? Seems so obvious, but it's so easy to overlook. If I'm already excited enough to open my wallet, all right, if I've already got cash in hand, if I'm already, you know, focused on the offer and the benefits that I'm going to get and my excitement about, you know, getting involved, when on earth is there ever going to be a better time to talk to me about other stuff to buy? Answer, there will never be a better time. The minute, the time function in marketing is really, really important. We might even have a whole call on that, but let me just give you a thumbnail description. The second somebody makes a buying decision, imagine a clock is ticking, okay? And the longer you delay in making them a second offer or doing something else to make the relationship stronger and more profitable, every minute that goes by, every day that goes by, certainly every week and month that goes by, your odds of selling that person again diminish pretty radically. And that's a shame, because you've gone through all the effort to make, you know, to find the customer, to make the sale, to give them the first product, and they're all happy, and you don't have anything else to sell them. Now, why do you think I'm talking about this so much? You think maybe I've made this mistake a couple of times myself? Yes, I have. It is a frustrating mistake to make. It is an expensive mistake to make. So it's something that I'd like you to benefit from by hearing and learning from my experience. So just to wrap this all up, don't fall in love with any given product. Products are important, obviously, to the customers, that they need to do what you promise them to do, promise that they'll do. In fact, ideally, you want them to do 10 times what you promise. So products, I don't want to say products are important, like some people say. They're absolutely wrong about that. But when you're conceiving your business, it's not about the product. It's about the market. And when you're looking at markets, it's not about the market. It's about the particular segment that you're going to design your marketing and your products for. And the whole purpose of your initial product, whether it's a free product or something you're selling for a nominal cost, is to get someone to make the leap, to test you out, to try you out. Gene Schwartz said the most brilliant thing ever in advertising, which is don't ask them to buy, ask them to try. And that really is the mindset you should have when you're trying to attract a first-time customer. So that first product is really just bait. It's to pull them from the general undifferentiated mass of humanity and put them in your tent. And as soon as they're in your tent, make sure you have a second offer, usually a more involved offer, i.e. more expensive offer, because that's going to be the best time on earth to sell them that higher offer. And I'll leave you with this last thought. Customers become more valuable the more times they buy from you. So, yeah, you may have sold a lot of people one time. That's great. But your business is much more valuable if you've sold to people twice. And your business is exponentially valuable when they come back to you for the third time. And this is something that the great mailer, direct mail, circulation genius Dick Benson discovered, and certainly a lot of other people in the old school publishing industry learned, that it's easy to sell a subscription, and first-time subscribers are certainly more valuable than, you know, non-subscribers, but a subscriber really becomes valuable the second time they renew, and when they renew the third time, suddenly they become gold. So that's our call for today. I think there's some pretty good stuff in here. I would recommend, as always, to listen to it more than once. I do recommend taking notes and, of course, figure out how to apply this information to your particular business. All these calls are put out to help raise the profile of the annual system seminar and remind everybody that we'll be meeting this year in New York City for the first time. And the dates will be April 15th through April 17th. We've got a fantastic lineup, which I will be revealing on January 1st. Again, hope you found this call valuable. If you did and want to do more with us, consider joining us in New York City, April 15th through 17th, and I will see you next time.